Here we go.
Hello, again. Hello.
Hello, Robert.
How are you, girl?
I haven't seen you. It feels like in forever.
I know.
How are you?
A lot of women say that in my life.
Do they?
Yeah, most of them are happy though.
Oh, I'd be very sad.
Would you?
I'd be like, where's my old pal?
Red Raw with Rob and Laura.
What's going on?
Oh, it's good, no?
Is it?
Yeah.
You sound
I'm not
reluctant.
In great form again.
Oh yeah, you do. You look a bit happier.
I did. I went for a run there now before. I tried to go for a run before I meet you.
Why?
Kind of cleanses my brain.
Oh.
You know?
I like that you feel like your brain needs to be clean
oh,
by the
does,
time
yeah.
it gets as far as me.
Your brain is demented.
Now, Rob, I've been listening back, as you well know, to our episodes of the podcast. I don't listen to any other podcast now, no more. I only listen to ours the whole time. Do you know the way we kind of touch on some topics?
Oh, that's coming here.
Right? And then we kind of...
This is becoming a thing now, like...
What?
You're throwing things at me.
I'd fucking throw something straight into your face, boy. No.
And you know I can't conceal anything and I'll just spill the beans on anything you ask me.
This is why we love you, Rob. You're an open book and you're sharing your knowledge with the world. Sometimes, like, we go into topics, and this is actually more on me. I'm guilty of glossing over stuff and not listening to you enough. But I was listening back to an episode where you were talking about school.
Mm.
We were both talking about school, and you were saying that for you, being in school in every class felt like, for me, every PE class, where I was like, I hate this and I don't know what's
torture,
going on.
Yeah.
I want to know more about school, Rob.
Oh.
Yeah, is that all right? Hit me up. Genuinely now, your experience of school, I think, is beneficial to people who might not have excelled at the academic side of things.
Looking back, like my earliest memories, I was obviously born in Toker and went to school in Toker. Very vague memories of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe the memories were vague because it was never kind of pushed on you.
What age do you think you started school at? Like four?
I started at four, so I was very young.
Mm.
So when I look back now, I was very young, and then I was tiny for my age.
I was going to say tiny.
Yeah.
What was your birth weight, do you reckon? About £2?
I don't know. Be prepared for Laura to make a joke when you're spilling your heart out, Rob.
So
went to school. I made my communion in Toker. We moved then from Toker to Turner's Cross, which was a different world. So I went from there to Skullcree Street and it was night and day. Like,
in what sense?
Toker was a bit mad, like, but you wouldn't have known that it was mad when you were there. Like, I remember, like, when I look back to my memories as a kid, like, we used to go to Mass every Sunday. We have to go through the estates and shoot of boys. I always, like, my earliest memories, like, when I lived in Argyllene Lawn, you'd have the boys sitting at the corner, sitting down playing cards and smoking. And
what age?
But they were older than me, like I was obviously small, but they were called the boot boys.
Okay.
You know, the hardy boys, but they were hardy boys back then, like the five star was tough and all of that area was really tough.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a different world, like, it was...
So are you saying the Toker school felt rough? Like, to me, I just thought it was rough.
But not that I'd have known.
Yeah.
But looking back in it, no, Jesus, like, when I look back at the fellas who I grew up around, who ended up in jail and dead and, you know, fellas sniffing glue and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Sorry, like, I just have to remember my mum once found me sniffing a Pritt stick.
This isn't stuff that has ever affected me, no.
Yeah, sorry.
But this was stuff looking back, like,
can
I can remember.
Did you say a Pritt stick is child safe? Like, that's not, like,
I
think my mum thought that I was really going down a dodgy route.
Yeah.
No,
it's
but.
Like getting HIV for kissing someone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Getting pregnant off the toilet seat.
Yeah,
which I would still be quite suspicious of most toilet seats. But no, so they were the people you were dealing with there. Did you stay in contact with them then when you went?
No, because I felt completely removed from that world.
You were hardly going to be writing them letters.
Yeah, because you're so young, but looking back in it now, and then when you grew up, and like I can remember one of the guys who lived across the road, he jumped off the building where Henry's was. I don't know, did he die? Or you'd hear all of these stories of the fellas who grew up around there. Fella, like, died for sniffing glue, joyriding, all that. But I was never affected by any of it. I was young.
Okay.
It was only when I was older and you look back at the people, like the life that you could have been living in. Yeah, there was loads of sad stories, actually. And then moved to Turner's Cross, which is kind of, it was posh compared to Toker, to be honest. It was a different world. Like, I always remember feeling completely different when I moved out there. Just that feeling. I then went to school there and I was definitely behind when I went to second class. I started in second class in Skullcree 3.
So you had made your communion in first class
in Toker Primary School.
And then you went into second.
And then went into second, joined second. Okay. But I was way behind. And I always remember being way behind and feeling out of place. Yeah, I felt like I didn't exist. Like when I look back.
Oh.
Yeah, was very.
But did you, you know, I have many questions. Did you, let's say from making friends point of view, did you make friends in the, do you remember what it was like to be the new boy and they all
yeah,
knew each other?
Yeah, I felt awkward, like. Did you? Really awkward, yeah. Yeah. And the memories then of that year are a bit vague. And even third class, and then third class, I remember third, geez, you're only bringing it up now. I remember we had a teacher in third class. And again, no, imagine I was small for my age.
Yeah.
Anyway, grown up. So now I'm in with guys now a year older than me because I started school so young.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So they were all a year older. So the gap is huge.
So by rights, you probably should have been in at first again.
I should have been in a first class.
Yeah.
And I can remember like some of the stuff that, would start shaping. I remember walking into my class in third class and we had a teacher there. I'd love to fucking get him in a headlock now. Mr. Breen was his name. And looking back then, he was really tall. I remember walking into class one day. I don't know, was he gone out to the bathroom or something and came back into class and he was holding up my jumper up to him. And fuck it, everyone was laughing.
Aww.
And I was there, he's some fucking prick.
Aww.
And I always remember back then. But I never felt bullied no or anything, which I wasn't. But I felt I felt sad that day.
Oh no!
It was a teacher doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So went on there to fourth class and then I stayed back in fourth class, Laura.
Oh, did you?
Which was, I was young as well, so I probably should have been kept back. And my whole life changed when I got kept back because there was a sense of when I got kept back in my own head, I had to be better than fellas at everything.
Okay.
I was the old guy, no, I was, but I wasn't sure to run my age. But in my head, do you know the way
I'm
I process?
Big guy now.
And that's when I started playing sport and stuff.
Okay.
So sport was never on the radar at home. So I started sport really, really late.
So you had gone in second class, you'd made friends. Then you're suddenly kept back again. So is that not like being back to being the new boy again in a new batch?
Yeah.
And like, but how did you survive? Were you crack? Were you chatty? Were you silent? What were you?
I remember in fourth class, like I had an innate feeling then that I had to be better at stuff, better than these guys because they were younger than me, which they weren't. And then that's when I started playing football. And then that's when I started making friends. And that's when I went out to Nemo and started playing street leagues in Nemo and was adamant because there was probably a sense of shame after being kept back.
Yeah.
The massive sense of shame that you were stupid or.
Yeah.
And probably something they didn't talk about for a long, long time. Where I started excelling then was in sport.
Mm.
Even though I was fine then in school.
Oh,
it was
were
all
you?
Right. All right. But no, I never had an interest in it, Laura. Like, I hated it. Like.
You hated doing homework.
I started doing sport then and I loved it. And I remember going on to the fifth class and we were in Brother DePaul's class in fifth class. Like my abiding memory now of fifth class is all of the class saying Guinness.
Oh.
And the crack starting Guinness and Brother DePaul losing his head going, if you want to learn about sex, go home and ask your mother and father. And we were like, yes, it worked.
I remember being in, obviously I went to Gwales School Secondary School and I remember in first year they were all saying Guinness and fucking stupid dope here thought it was the Irish for Guinness. I couldn't understand. I was like, I don't know what they're saying and I don't know why it's funny. Just like a big fool.
But all of my memories are sports. So when I was in fifth class.
I know you have sporting memories. Do you have a memory sitting down at your school desk with your books in front of you and your school bag in your lunch?
Not that early,
did
no.
Did you have a lunch?
I had a lunch and.
Did you have the school?
It was never a nice lunch. It was just a normal old fucking corned beef sandwiches or. You know, a bottle of milk that you were it wrapped in like in bread paper.
Oh,
so it wasn't even tin foil or cling film.
No.
And you probably felt a little bit poorer because of that as well. Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh, no. Sometimes Shane sends the kids' lunches in their original packaging, and I'm like, Shane, I don't care. We are not children of the 80s. You have to use
come here, sure. My kids' lunches now are like 3-course meals.
Yeah, I know.
It's off the rails, like they get. I don't know. But look.
Do you not have a recollection of sitting down doing your work in fifth class?
No.
You don't?
Not in fifth class.
In primary school at
no,
all?
No, my biggest memories from fifth class was that. the class saying Guinness and messing and having a laugh, and then being sent for trials for the school football team against the sixth class boys and not getting selected. And I can even remember who got on the school football team. It was Timmy Finn and Finan Murray, and it fucking drove me mad. Two very, very good players.
Yeah.
Like, Finan went on to be a really good player, never reached his potential, but was massively talented.
Unlucky Finan.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
And why weren't you
picked? Abiding feelings. I was tiny, Laura.
Okay.
But I still feel now that I was good enough.
Mm.
So then, with athletics, then the objectivity of being was taken out of it. If you were first across the line, you were first across the line.
It's much more straightforward.
There was the school mile was on that year then. I was always nifty, like it had been really quick and stuff. They put names out of a hat for people to run in the school mile when we were in fifth class. So isn't it gas? Like, I have no memory of school, but these are the memories that stand out for me.
Yeah.
So one of the guys who got selected to run the mile, after being picked out of a hat, ended up being my strength and conditioning coach for about 20 years. Robbie Williams, not the singer before.
Oh my God.
So you're right, I can see it, yeah. So fitness work, great guy. I'm really good friends with me now. And sure, he didn't run. I was fucking...
But sorry, what's the pulling out of the hat? So not everyone got to run the mile?
It's back to your thing about drama. Like,
oh
like
my
the,
God.
The best person didn't get picked.
Don't ever pull me out
of
the hat.
And I even remember Aidan Casey won the mile. When he was in fifth class, he won the school mile.
And you'd no right to win it, Aidan.
No, because I wasn't in the race. So then the next year, we went on and I won the mile.
Yeah.
I won the mile and I remember...
Aidan Casey was crying.
And I remember Finan Murray saying to me at the time, he goes, "Hey, Ford, that shield is nearly bigger than you," which it was. I was like, fucking prick, you're a prick. But you know, but that was the environment, good sports. But no, the school was
you
the furthest
no
thing.
You have no recollection of school. And what about sixth class, making your confirmation?
Sixth class, I do. We had Brother Enda and he would hammer the shit out of you, literally. Like,
what?
Yeah. I used to go into school afraid.
In this day and age.
Oh fuck it, Laura! Like,
oh my God! Like,
yeah,
what?
You get a thump, like you get a clatter across the head. But I was fine, like, for confirmation, because when we were singing the hymns and stuff, my voice wasn't after breaking, so I was one of the good singers. Oh, like.
We're going to ask Rob to do the Veni Creator because he's got a very high pitched voice.
So,
oh
but
no!
But
yeah, were you mocked for that, or did sports save you?
No, because I'd have still been. I can remember it, like my memories. When you go, I remember a guy in sixth class, there was transition year after sixth class and primary, and he used to be picking me all the time. And I remember a game fucking hiding in the yard in Crease 3.
Oh,
I remember catching him in a headlock, and I say him about fucking 10 knees into the face.
Oh my God.
But half of it was out about from being fucking afraid. And it just came to a point. I was push. And I remember him the next day coming up to me in the yard, and he pulled his... What's this? What am I doing?
I don't know. You're pulling your jaw.
All the inside of his cheek was all black and blue.
Oh.
So you did this to me. Like, yeah, but you should leave me alone. But they were my memories, all kind of.
And then you were like, fuck you, I'm going to sing it for the confirmation.
So I'd have been able to throw a few slaps.
But would you get in trouble for that? Of course you'd get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I got
that.
Loads of trouble. Like, yeah.
Did you get it suspended and stuff?
Yeah, but I was always giddy. I was always messing as well. Like,
all
my memories were like, I'd come straight home from school. Like, in sixth class, we'd keys to the handball alley. Brother Canisius was a teacher in Skull Cree Street.
I mean, that can't be a real name.
Yeah,
Brother Canisius.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had keys to the handball alley, and we used to go down to the handball alley straight after school. Cormac Sheehan was one of the guys. Damien Cahan, Mickey Buckley, Ian Murphy was there sometimes, and play handball for hours.
And they went on guys to form Boyzone.
So, but come back from there. And then,
when did you do your homework?
I'd come home from there then, and I'd be training with my club then that night. I couldn't eat my dinner at 5 o'clock because I didn't want to get a stitch when I was training at 7. And I'd come home then, back then, right? Fucking hell, you always do this to me. So
I'm
there was no microwaves. The dinner would be heated, kept warm on top of the pot.
Mm.
So the plate would be on top of the pot and you'd have the cover on the plate. And you come home and the poppies could be black. And the fucking smell off the dinner from it being kept warm for hours because I wouldn't eat it before I trained. Then you'd come home. And I'd be training then. Like, so I'd train with my club Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And Wednesday, everything was sport, even when I went to secondary.
But when are you doing your homework?
I didn't do it.
Excuse me, what?
I didn't do any homework.
You didn't do any homework?
No, I'd be
ever
getting it done in school. But and then in first year was the same. So when I went into first year, all my memories were I wanted to be the best footballer, the best runner. I can remember if we did tests out in the yard where you'd have to run X amount of laps and say, if I did 45 laps of the yard and some fella said I did 43 and another fella cheated, I'd fucking be ready to go for him. Like, So school, just.
But in first year then, right? So did some of the primary school transfer over to, the, like, was it a lot of the same people went to the secondary school?
Yeah, and then you were graded when you went into first year. So there was like 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4. And then there was 1A, 1B. They were the technical classes.
And where were you?
I was in 1A.
Okay.
So like you could have.
Top of the technical.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was never.
But what does that mean, technical classes?
Like woodwork and metalwork. So I was.
Did you have to do them?
No, because I was never going to go and do the normal kind of. Like my family were all building line. Like.
Yeah.
So I was going to end up. Like I was working in building sites all summer with my dad anyway, from a young age. So I'd have been working on a building site with my dad at 11 years of age for the whole summer, Laura.
For example, your junior cert. Were you like stressed about that or studying? Did you study?
Fuck, if you're stressed when you're going in to do it, you know you've no work done.
Rob, I just can't. My tiny mind is just, like, did you sit exams and not have a clue, like, what was going to happen or what you were going to say? Or
I remember, this is shocking. No.
Oh my God, I'm not in.
I remember, we could go back, we'll go back and forth,
okay.
But like some loads of the memories, no, it just wasn't on my radar. It bored me. But the biggest excitement for me in school, we used to do games on a Monday and we used to have English until 3:05 and the buzzer would go off at 3:05. I'd be sat down the back of the class. I'd have my football gear underneath my uniform. So I'd have my shorts on, my socks on, my jersey on underneath my uniform, and I would bolt out the door and I would run from Clash to Crease 3 all the way out the back Douglas Road in the back. And I'd fucking have the gear on and I'd be out kicking the ball around with McCary before anybody ever got there. And if fellas tried to hold me back, I'd nearly start crying or I'd fucking throw a thump or I would be freaked. So like that was the pressure of my day.
I'd be like, oh God, I can't believe English is over now, my favourite, and I have to go do this stupid game.
And then I'd be half anxious for the whole English class thinking about going playing games.
I have a question. Don't take offence. Were you a bit weird?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No.
But like.
No, because I'd have been very good, like.
But were you sociable as well?
Okay. But Laura, at school for me, like, I'd have a pain in my stomach some days just from laughing, like.
Oh, okay.
And the messing. And like loads of my memories were from hiding in the bathroom for double classes, like being in the bathroom and in the cubicles and sitting on the windowsill because I'd know that the Dick Tobin would be walking around the corridors and he'd go into the bathroom and he'd look underneath the door to see was there feet there and I'd be up in the fucking windowsill so I wouldn't get caught. Like I'd have been suspended from school for being put outside the door 10 times.
Okay.
So if you were put outside the door 10 times...
For talking.
Oh, you know, it bored me. Like, I can remember, like, just not wanting to be in school and going to Dick Tobin and looking for a cat a mock and going in. Imagine when you're a kid going in and you're after fucking brushing yourself down and giving your old head a wobble out in the corridor and going in with your sick face on and your sick voice and saying you have diarrhea.
I mean,
and you'd get a little cat of
top tier.
And you'd go home. So you'd get a lot of it.
My whole life I used to say women's troubles because nobody's going to ask you for any details.
That was to get
about
out
that.
Of pee. This was to get out of school. So yeah, and it was just.
It blows my mind.
Sports day would have been a massive stress for me for years.
Hell on earth.
Yeah, but I am.
What you wanted to win. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be fat here now.
Or if I had. Cross country training with the school, like Kevin Cummins would have us on the bus afterwards, and that's the only thing that would be on my mind all day in school.
It's so interesting because I swear to God now, when we had a sports day, genuinely,
we haven't talked one thing about academics here yet.
We're coming back. But when there was a sport, but you see, but there's it wasn't school, wasn't academics for you, it was sport for you. If there was a sports day.
But I was an awful messer, Laura. Like.
But you see, I was great crack, but I wasn't a messer.
But you'd have been probably a bit more. Cuter than me. I'd be giddy and I'd be caught and
no.
Like I can remember getting fucking thrown outside the door one day. I was only back from being suspended and the teacher was stupid now looking back and I was only a kid. He goes, right guys, you have 60 seconds to stop talking and we're going to get down to work. And he goes, sir, I have a new watch, I'll time you. I fucking lost the plot. Fucked the table up into the air. All the pages went everywhere all around the room. And I got thrown outside the door again and I'm only back and I can remember going, oh, I was absolutely terrified.
No, if I got thrown outside the door, it would be the talk of the school.
I can remember being in Brother Bosco's class in science and we're up in the labs.
Brother Bosco. And he popped out of his box.
And you'd fall off the stool. on purpose.
Oh, you little shit.
But the stool, because in the science labs, the room, the ground was wooden.
Yeah.
And you'd fall off the stool onto the ground and the stool would clatter off the ground. And everyone roar laughing. Like. And then we'd have another one down in the language room, we used to call it. So it was like a room that where we would do lectures in college. Do you know, with the steps going up?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
what,
yeah.
What do you call it?
Like a lecture hall.
Lecture hall, yeah. So it went up in steps. So underneath every step, there was a hollow.
Okay.
But you couldn't see the feet, so you could be sitting down in the room like this, and you could orchestrate for the whole class. You could be chatting away like this, and the fucking whole room would be doing it, Laura, and it would be like a herd of elephants.
And I could tell, I'd be going, stop, stop, guys, stop making noise.
Sir, is that the birds on the roof? And he'd go up and he'd be thinking it was upstairs. Sure, there'd be nobody upstairs. Sure, the room was separate to the school. And then other stuff, like Mossy Ford was a big boy. He was like, when he was in school, I say, he was hitting on 17, 18 stone, easy.
Okay.
And we used to do crushes on the stairs. So imagine, he was the smallest, Mossy was the biggest, and Mossy would stop, like on the stairs, Laura. Put one arm, on the banister, and fellas would come down, and there'd be crushes, and you're getting crushed, and everyone's laughing. There'd be absolute, like school was just.
I'd have been crying. I'd have been the fat one crying in the corner, going, "I'm fat and sad, and I don't want to do this game."
Yeah, I was, but I don't know. It was.
But then
if I had to do any of the running or the football, it was life and death to me. So I think when I had all of that stuff going on, it was so serious to me that school was just a laugh.
But how did you do your leaving cert? You left before your leaving cert.
I left in fifth year and I was doing...
Was that weird? Was there a decision about that, or were you definitely always leaving?
I don't know. Was I suspended and just stayed out?
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? I wasn't going back, so I was suspended.
Okay.
So we went from junior cert to fifth year.
No transition.
It wasn't for me, anyway. And then I started working with my dad. And then I was going to stay working with him. And then I ran in a cross-country race up in St. Aidan's. And Brother Dooley said to me, he said, "Your scholarship material."
St. Aidan's up next to us, next to Scolalver.
And I was after taking a growth spurt, like, and I couldn't believe it, like. And a lot of the missing as well is that you're not accountable. You don't...
But do you think, was a lot of the missing to kind of cover the fact that you weren't doing the academics?
Yeah, of course. I found it hard as well. I remember being in sixth class and we were left to our own devices with the maths book. I found it fierce hard. I couldn't get it. I was saying this before. I think I was saying it on the podcast before. Timmy Finn was next to me and he had a book finished in 3 months. I was still in chapter two. I just had no concentration for it.
But do you think it's concentration as opposed to aptitude? Because sure, you're well able.
But then I have examples of that through all my life in school. Like if I had Brother Cullum then, who was the athletics coach and the football coach, I got a B in honours geography.
Okay.
Because I'd go into his class and I'd be trying to impress him. So
okay.
There was some versions of myself then, like in school, that I was like a completely different person.
Yeah.
Do you know, like Burnsy, the maths teacher, there was no room for it. I was absolutely terrified of him. He was very strict, but had the right balance. He was good. He was a brilliant teacher, actually, even though he was very, very tough. And then another teacher, Miss Brennan, was really nice to me, like, and then I'd have trained with her. But if anybody opposed me or branded me, I was fucking fierce, fiery, probably like that now in my own marriage. Like, I didn't trust them if they were giving up to me about something. And
I think you're like that in all aspects.
Even Miss Brennan, I remember winning the mile in first year, and I came in and she gave me £2 to fill the cup up with Tanora.
Oh,
and she was nicest people I've ever come across. And even to this day, when I went to the Northman for the year, she'd be going up to the Northman. She'd collect me at the end of Shandon Street. If I passed her, she'd give me a lift up.
Lovely woman. Oh my God.
So it was a load of stuff.
Did you fill the cup up with Tanora?
Yeah. Oh. Fucking probably very bad. Remember getting a chain letter to the house when I was younger, and I telling Mrs. Brennan about it.
Oh, I remember getting a chain letter to the house. Mum and Dad,
we were all going to die.
Yeah,
and she told me not to worry about it. But again, looking back, she took a personal interest and she showed that she cared about me. Whereas I could have been a throwback in some of the other classes.
So are you saying so that you were well able academically, really?
If I wanted to do it.
If you liked the person that was.
Yeah.
But if you felt wronged by them, you'd be like, well, they can fuck off.
And then if you fall behind or. And then I suppose, looking back on it now, even in secondary, right, on a Wednesday in secondary, we'd have a half day. I'd come home, I'd run home, run out the Nemo.
You'd run home,
run home, yeah. Yeah.
For what?
Because Like, I used to run home for my lunch.
This image of me running home.
I used to run home for my lunch every day.
Oh,
right?
Stop, Rob, for God's sake.
So my house is just over a mile from Cree Street, and I run home. Matlock would be on the television at lunchtime, and you'd get the, I'd watch that with my mum.
Oh.
And I'd have a couple of sandwiches, a cup of tea, and a packet of custard creams. And
you're actually just going out of your way to make
I'd
me
run
feel
back
now.
To school, but
you
I could run. I'd have more time. I never ever stayed in school at lunchtime. I'd like to get home. Oh, it was them kind of traits of me. I like my own.
Every day you'd run
every
home.
Day. I never stayed
but
in school for lunch.
But what about hanging
lunch.
With your friends in the yard?
No, I didn't. I always went home.
This is why I'm saying, were you weird? Like, were there people going, that fucking idiot after running home again now for his custard creams?
I probably wasted so much energy messing in class that I had enough of them. Then I needed a break. I need to go.
You're still like that? You're still like that? You get sick of people.
I get sick of people and I pull away. But it's not them, it's me.
It's that you need the space.
I need a bit of space, like.
And you're sitting down with your mum having this is a devastating.
Matlock.
Oh. I know well what
probably
Matlock
fucking
is.
Remember more about Matlock than I do about school.
If Matlock had been on the Leaving Cert, this fella.
And
but
his dog.
So you had to do the Leaving Cert then.
So I went back then, I had to do the Leaving Cert. I had to go to the North Man, and you needed your Leaving Cert to do the SATs to go to America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember this, yeah.
So I did my Leaving Cert.
Did you have to get a good Leaving Cert, or did you just have to do it?
I did the bare six subjects.
Okay, what'd you do?
Obviously, Irish, English, Maths, Geography, History, French.
Yeah.
I did French, yeah. And I remember I did French because I can remember doing... Oh, you're going to be appalled by this.
Go on, go for it.
I was behind because I missed a good bit of fifth year as well. I did the French oral. I pretended to cry in the oral because I knew nothing, and your mum fucking pressed pause on the tape and she helped me through it.
Oh, you're just living off of people feeling sorry for you.
I was like the cat out of Shrek.
I'll tell you.
But it was a surviving
during
thing,
my
Laura.
French oral, the woman paused the tape to tell me that I was a gas woman because I said in French that my husband had the need of a wife. Or not my husband, my brother had the need of a wife. And she paused the tape and went, "You're gas!" And then pressed play again, yeah.
Yeah, but I was so young, like, I felt so young.
And so what did you do? Was it honours? Were they all honours?
No. I only did pass, like. Sure, I came back and...
Yeah.
But I know...
How do you mean you missed loads of fifth year? So you actually...
I missed a lot of fifth year, like.
Did you?
Yeah. I came back into the middle of fifth year, like.
See, that's
And then I was kicked out of maths class. I had no maths class. And then I don't think I had any French. I don't know, was I thrown out of French then as well for messing, like.
And you have to have maths in your leaving, so otherwise if you fail...
So Brendan Crowley, I remember Brendan Crowley, and I good buddies with him now. But I remember him fucking roaring at me in the class and we nearly squaring off to each other. And I got thrown out of maths. And then I got thrown into... I got put into another maths class. Mr. O'Shea was his name. And I was in sixth year at this stage. Like, some of the memories of school, and I can remember how fiery things were. Mr. O'Shea. I meet him now and he sunged.
Of course, yeah.
And the students were playing the teachers and he turned around to me. And I'm probably taller than him now. Yeah. I developed so late, Laura, like. Mm. So you don't feel the same as the boys who were mature and developed when you're...
Of course,
that underdeveloped when you're younger. I remember Mr. O'Shea saying to me in the maths class, he goes, "Hef, will you be playing in the student versus teachers game?" He goes, "I suppose you'll be going up for all of the high balls, will ya?" And he goes, "You'll be going off for them as well, would ya? With your squinty eye, you won't see nothing." I says to the teacher... He had a little bit of a squint.
I mean, nasty.
Oh, did?
Yeah.
But he started it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he mocked me, and then it's like going completely inappropriate.
Mm.
So that didn't work out well either. Like, but looking back now, I had no interest, Laura. Like, but then the following year, I went.
But
up
you're
to the
so
Norman.
Clever, like as in.
But I never.
When
school.
Did you realise that you were actually academically clever?
I had to be practical for me. So when I went to the North Man then and I knew around the lads and all brilliant runners from around the country, my landscape started changing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the SATs from America and got them fine because I had to get them. There was a purpose that I had to do them. And then even when I decided then not to go to American scholarship and I said I want to go to the Olympics, where I had to start making real decisions. I know I'm after getting beyond, I'm kind of really good now at athletics, like, and I said I think I could go to the Olympics. And I decided to do the sports injuries course in Stefan Nefa. And even when I went to Stefan Nefa to do the sports injuries course, I only did the subjects that I knew I needed to get that qualification, because afterwards I could work. Sure, the other ones I used to always go away training.
Yeah.
Like there was a load of other modules.
Okay.
And I'd have fallen out with them teacher, I wouldn't have turned up. But I practically, I knew the ones that I needed to get, and then I got the qualification. And the same when I had to go back and do bank exams.
Yeah.
I had to get them. So it was on my terms.
It's the
I hate doing stuff that I don't have to do. But I'd have having a massive insecurity then, because of not having getting a good leaving cert and people on about points, and for years and years and years, just feeling stupid, like, you
which
know.
It's such bollocks, because I got a great leaving cert and I feel like, almost like, did she ever live up to it? Do you know what I mean? Like, she got an unbelievable leaving cert, she could have been anything.
But I'd see boys now, like, from school, and there'd still be a sense of me, like, they were so mature and so much better than me, and part of me would still feel very insecure to them. Even though, no, being an adult and outgrowing it, it's...
But
I have very strong memories of being behind, like...
You know the way you said you felt different, right? Is it that you felt different because you felt insecure and lesser than them? Or is it that you knew your potential? So was that, like, was that setting you apart as well? That you knew that you could be, like, a world athletics championship or whatever?
I met a guy there at a Christmas party... Richie O'Reilly, and we used to do athletics and football. One of the nicest guys now, genuinely nicest fellas. And I used to say about him, I saw him as a massive rival to me growing up.
Yeah.
But not in a negative sense. And because he was better than me at everything, he was kind of
spurred you on.
Yeah, but always had massive respect for him. I met him at a Christmas party this year. He sent me a really long message that night after a few pints and said how he always remembered me having a massive drive to be the best version that I could be when I was younger, and it set me aside from everybody else. And he goes, "Hef, I never seen you as a rival. I always seen you as a friend."
Mm. And you were like, "Well,
I felt terrible, but I wanted a bit." Part of me was a healthy jealousy of him.
Yeah,
but looked up to him, wanted to be better because I thought he was a little bit better at football, even walking when he did that, running. But he was just more developed and more mature.
Yeah,
and all of them things, but. That never changed. That moved on to somebody else, moved on to somebody else. It never stopped.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Laura. It
just blows my mind, because obviously, like, as in, if I had to go into school without my homework done,
I would never have my homework done.
Are you joking?
I'd be getting it done in between classes. And
oh my God. Like, yeah. I just couldn't fathom any of that. Like, I suppose it's because both my parents were teachers, and obviously my dad was the vice principal of our primary school. So I was going into school with him. But if I had, I couldn't fathom if I imagined...
Never studied.
No. I mean, like, Rob, it blows my mind because, like, study came easy to me, so I didn't have to study hard.
Oh, but if I studied, I wouldn't remember it. Like, I just...
Oh, I could... But you see, it's so funny because you're about practical. I have no interest in practical. I could learn off any old shite for you. No bother. I could tell you, it doesn't have to have any practical application. I could just learn it off.
And,
oh, yeah, and ream it off, yeah.
I found it very hard, Laura, even doing my... sports injuries course. When I was back that young, we used to do a long kind of session on a Sunday. We could do like 16 to 18 miles. And back then it was a Walkman. And I would a recording on about the practicalities. Walkman. I'd record the chapter into the tape.
Okay, yeah.
And I'd train with the Walkman on for 2 hours. Because I found it hard to retain, I'd have to listen and listen. Mm. Really, really tough. But I'd... Even when I went back to do my finance exams with the bank, when I was up in Dublin, we were doing them up in Dublin in the Institute of Banking.
And what age were you?
Oh, no, this is when I'm retired. Like.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I was fucking great for the first two exams because I knew no one. We'd be in college from 9 to 5. I knew no one. I'd be really concerned. And then when I got to know people, sure, the last module I had to do, I'd be weak from being giddy and laughing and then people would like you and you'd befriend people.
Yeah.
And it was the same with my career. Like when I looked back to my early days, I'm unreal on my own. I need to be on my own. I'm focused. Then you throw me into a group and there's fucking so much and I get fierce fucking giddy like. And I had to quench that then even in my athletics career because I do all of the training. Then the next thing you're away with a group at the Olympics or Europeans when you're younger.
Yeah.
And sure.
It's crack.
And then you take your eye off the ball, whereas I obviously got way better at it when I was older, but maybe I have fucking ADHD or something, I don't know.
But do you think you have?
I think I have a few things, like, yeah.
Do you?
Probably, yeah.
But are you going to go find out, or are you just going
grand,
to...
Like, yeah, I just, you see, once I know, I kind of know what I have to be to succeed, and I know how focused and the environment that I need around me to succeed and what to be away from. Like, I need to be very routined and structured and planned in ways, and then the other side of my life just fucking chaos.
But you
to
need
balance
both,
each other
you
out.
Need both, yeah. But I see, I often think, like, as
but
in...
I think, sorry, people get confused with me then over. You don't.
How do you mean?
They get confused because I'm so giddy and such a messer. I'd like...
They don't realise that you're
then
not
then when
a
I can
calm.
Go on the other side...
Yeah.
But I know I was thinking.
But that's where they make their mistakes. He's always thinking, by there's always stuff churning away in the back of this man's brain.
But then the other fuckers, like I would see then, like even moving on, there's some fuckers there and they can present and they can... And now, after coming out the other side,
yeah,
they can regurgitate stuff. They have all of the knowledge and they have zero wisdom. They have zero feelings towards stuff. They have zero experiences. But they can present... so well that yep. it could blow your mind.
But it's back to what we've always said with this podcast. It's back to people that like consider themselves to be what's called gawk inducing content creators. And it's like there are people who are very good at putting together a presentation or putting together a video or whatever, but then you meet them and there's nothing real about them. Whereas like as in I don't actually think, having been incredibly academic, I think it's the least interesting thing about me that I was academic. I'm not academic now.
I remember being on the radio with you and Ciara and you were going on about getting, like you got an A in English, she got an A in English.
I did not get an A in English and it
did
still
you get a B
fucking galls
and it annoyed
me.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of your, yeah, yeah. That was one of your, and the two of you were chatting, I was fucking going, she's just fucking leave me out of this conversation now. And like when you were galled at the B in
galled.
English.
I'm still galled over it.
In honours English.
Yeah. Galled. Well,
honors
I fucked
English.
It. I messed up. I messed
fucking
up.
Honours English was like a different language to me.
But that's so interesting because, like, as in, oh God, it really does annoy me that I got a B in it. I fucked it. I messed up the question.
But that's like, I can remember the fella lying about running an extra lap in the yard, and I know he didn't, and I know his name as well. I'm not even going to call his name out now. I'm not going to call out Brian or something. But it was a lie. It really annoyed
me. But you
me.
See, you had a
done,
keen sense of justice.
Like, oh.
But does it not just go to show, though, that there
them
is...
Them traits carried on, they did. But nobody recognised them, Laura, because if somebody... And I see it like, if you can harness that energy and drive and cultivate it and realise that... I think it's more important to have a work ethic, a real curiosity...
I agree.
...to get better at stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can be helped. And I think they're the most interesting people I've met. And like I know I've mentioned his name in the podcast loads of times. My buddy Alan, I find him very, very smart.
Yeah.
And we'd go back and chat about school, but he's really intelligent. Like, he gets stuff, we're able to talk about things. And actually, I always enjoy chatting to him. And then we can switch off and have a laugh.
But this is it, you see, because there is also the type of intelligence that can switch off. So, you know, the way sometimes, like, some of the most intelligent people in the world would say doctors or whatever, like, that would have excelled, then they have no bedside manner.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, as in, you, I think I was lucky in a way that I was very academic, but I was also good crack. So that kind of... The being good crack saved me from being a swatty little dose. Do you know what a swatty little fat dose?
Yeah, but if it came naturally to you, didn't
so
it?
Nice.
Naturally to you as
but
well.
It, like. But it did. But now, as an adult, I don't think it matters what I got in my leaving cert. I don't think it matters what I got in my junior cert. I think what matters...
But it does, Laura, like, because that's obviously a talent you have, but it's the carrot. It's like when you come back to sport and people go, should sport be competitive? So, no, there should be a carrot for everybody to keep on trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So, like, even at the moment, like, I'd have it, like, my Regan won a medal at the Munster Championships last week. Sure, she hasn't run in months. She's doing gymnastics. And people would have the perception that we're coaching her privately.
Yeah.
And then I could see my other little tares that she's going to be brilliant in a few years if she wants it, because she's at a different stage of development. So you deal with them all differently. I'd be like that in the club with kids, help them reach their potential, but you have to recognise it. And I think you need a passion then for that as well.
And
so
I
if
think
you
were
brilliant academically, maybe you needed more.
But I think you have to recognise it within each child's different parameters. Like, as in, because I was very academic, then the carrot is different for me than it is for somebody else. But I don't know, does the school system honour that? And I actually think what happened to me then is because I was so good at academia, we'll say, I was used up by the time we came to college. I was like, oh my God, I'm sick of being so good. And so obviously college was fine. Well, I hated college, but like the degree, I excelled at that as well. But then I came to a point, and I'm still at that point of, I don't want to learn nothing.
But you, maybe you needed somebody who could direct you then to kind of go, where can you go? Where, like, I could do my leaving cert 10 times and I'd never get the points to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So, but, and different. I think as well, is there a slight sense of like, because I could have been a vet, I could have been a doctor. Well, I probably needed a few more points for the doctor, but like, there is there a point then that I almost still have to feel like I have to justify why I went the arts route because I didn't reach what's expected of somebody who's good at academia. But the thing for me is that I was good at academia naturally, but I was also naturally drawn to having the crack and naturally drawn to the arts. So I think I could have been easily pigeonholed into doing a career that I didn't want to do just because I was clever. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I remember having the chat with my dad. My dad saying, "Why wouldn't you do law?" And I'm like, "Why would I do law?" Mm. Because I don't want it. Like, as in, just because I was capable of doing it, I think it was good that my parents accepted that just because I had the capacity to do a big ass job, that they didn't make me. Mm. You know, they were happy for me to go off chasing acting or chasing whatever. So like, that's, I'm grateful to them for that. But I just think, I don't know, I just like, I look at my own kids now and they're so clever. I know they're clever. I know all three of them are clever. But I also know how artistic they are. And it's about trying to find their passions as well. And for them to not get sick of school, but also for them to not think that school is the be all and end all. Mm. Because when you look back at it, Rob, it's such a tiny part of our lives. We're in school really for such a small part, but for me, certainly at that time, it felt like it was my whole world. And I think that's when kids get into trouble and stuff then, because they don't see that there is a life outside of school. And even if this isn't suiting you, in a couple of years' time, nobody will care.
Yeah, but you still need to have, you still need to have a passion and grow. Sure, look at everything you have, like lovely house, lovely family. You're doing loads, very successful.
But is
podcast.
That because of my leaving cert? No.
I know.
Like, is it because of being clever? No, I don't think it is it?
Yeah, but you're clever and...
I'm clever enough to pick a fine man to marry. But
it's the same. I can remember like even saying like Cahill when he was younger, so good at all sport.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. And because of the masses, what you have to be careful of, it's so densely populated Gaelic games, and he was a brilliant hurler. Probably way better hurler than a soccer player when he was younger. And you have to be careful then in the sense that you don't rest in your laurels, and because you're naturally good, you can have so many followers. And it's like, no, you're going to be, by the time you're 16, you're probably playing senior football, hurling, 16, 17, at everything. Everyone will think you're great, but it's only because of your natural attributes. He's big, he's strong, he's fast.
Yeah.
So don't fall into the trap of thinking that you're fucking great. Like, there's so many more areas to go.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So it's putting the carrot in front of him. And I see it even with the kids at races. No, oh, Lord, like some of the kids who are talented when they're younger and the parents living through them.
Yeah.
It's fucking that's tough. And they don't have an idea to a degree the long road that's there. And it's like you probably getting burnt out by your leaving cert to a degree.
Yeah.
But that all of that talent and potential is still there, and it'll just manifest in something else.
It just presents in different ways. But it's as a mom looking on at my kids, I don't want to live through them. Like, I want them to do whatever they want to do. I've no sense of wanting to. But I wonder, is that it? Am I lucky in that I know they're clever, so I don't have to worry? I can be like, academics doesn't matter. You don't have to be going to college because I know
the
that they probably will.
My kids, like,
how do you mean?
Like my Meg now she's in her final year doing a degree in Waterford. The other day, saying she should have picked something else, or I was saying that the other week, and I'm like, well, she's for fucking real, fucking degree in college, and like Regan and Tara would be saying they hate school on the way. You don't hate school. And I was like, oh my god, it's something like my fucking parents. So school is the best time of your life. You're getting to play with all your friends, and I says it can set you up if you do well at school. I think you're trying to put a safety net there for your kids as well.
Yeah. What's the best time of your life, do you think, age wise?
I love school, like the fucking messing in school as well, Laura. Some of the laughs that you would have, like.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be my abiding memory, should it? Like sticking pencils into fellas' arses. And remember David Corrigan getting lead poisoning?
No way! Yeah. Actual lead poisoning.
Oh, yeah, from being jabbed with a pencil.
Oh no!
Or you could be in fucking class and somebody would stick a compass up your hole and you'd leave out a massive roar. And just the giddiness from that.
Compass up your hole would really hurt.
Kyle Maguire, his name is coming.
I could do it now from the piles.
How'd you get a compass stuck up your hole?
I don't know. I think there might be a certain pleasure in it.
into your arse cheek.
Oh, into my arse cheek. Oh, no.
Remember, like, I remember like Trevor Riley catching the bin on fire in the yard.
But putting the bin on fire?
Yeah.
I would not have survived in your school. Now, I know it was an all boys school.
No, it was a good school as well. And then I went up to the man and it was a different kettle of fish altogether. Like, the Chris Reeves good school.
My brother went to the man briefly, but he was bullied and he had to change schools. Halfway through junior
cert. I remember being up in the mine the first week up there. There was a riot in Fair Hill. Fellas fighting with T-squares. I've seen one fighting all my life in Clash Decree Street.
You could get some wallop with a T-square now. Oh my God, I'd love to beat you across the head with a T-square. What have we solved, Rob? What have we solved? Nothing.
I think there's definitely different intelligences.
Yeah.
But you could be intelligent and you can have fucking no drive and it's no good either. You know, but I do think you need to have a passion and a grow for something and something that you love. Otherwise, it will run out. Like if you're naturally academic and it came easy to you, it's no difference to Kyle going, he's 6'3", he'll play senior football. So what? Does it really mean anything unless you have to work for something? So it's brilliant that you have that talent. But that's after coming out on all your plays and what you're doing now and, you know.
But the same,
so it comes out in different ways.
But the same for you coming out in sport, then it's kind of irrelevant that you could have actually done a brilliant junior cert if you'd applied yourself because you were applying yourself to the right thing for your path.
And I figured out like a lot of, like, and I see it. I don't know, do we have this chat before? I remember chatting to Jory Hussey over at the Rio Olympic Games. And
the wellness guy.
And when we go back to presentations and correct etiquette and what you could say and motivation and all of that. And I made the example of Big Joe Joyce. And
oh, yeah.
I spoke
you
about
him
before, bare knuckle, king of the travellers, Big Joe. And the environment of the kids that came through that culture, like Davy Oliver, John Joe Joyce, Joe Ward, so many Olympians, so many European champions, so many Irish champions, so many titles everywhere. Whereas Jury is all of the presentations and stuff. So there has to be a mix.
Yeah.
So I would, when you go into them environments and you watch and even chatting to Joe that time and people would discount, say, oh, they're mad, they're this and that. You sit down and have a conversation with him and you're looking in the eyes and body language, the crossover with sport and the preparation for the accountability at the end, which in the rawest form of everything, imagine a bare knuckle fight.
Yeah.
With both communities putting down thousands upon thousands. Imagine the pressure, Laura.
I'd have to bring my T-square.
But you know, when you look at it, and if it was the leaving cert, their leaving cert, you're put out, they're put out their best man. So I've put out Cahill from our family.
Yeah.
You've thrown out your brother. He's a big man, is he?
No, my brother-in-law. We'll go Peter.
All right, Peter is going to fight for the dailies.
My poor brother wouldn't do it.
The dailies and
poor brother wouldn't do a bit.
The daily O'Manies.
Go on, Peter.
Go down to the car park in Parky Quay. We've thousands on. I said, boys, go out to prepare for that, the fight.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because it's like getting to, it's the decisions that you have to make in your life, the practical decisions that you have to make to your life that add value to you to be the best possible version when you're being judged, whether it's your leaving cert, the bare knuckle match on the start line of the Olympic Games with no excuses, with a genuine belief in your ability that you can win. What do I have to do? And having that real honesty, because I've seen people doing presentations and they come in and go, oh, that they're authentic and there is, and I'm looking at them going, you were in your hole. I've spent days with you. You're not even like this.
Yeah.
You're just really, really good at gathering content and presenting yourself in a way that is brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant messages. But
not spend, real.
If you're around some people for days and days, you'll see holes in everyone.
Yeah.
You know? And that's probably why I've got on with you or...
Yeah, because you
are the people who I have got on with,
same, yeah.
Or I've connected with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
Because I listen back to a podcast there of an old one and I'd be fucking going off in tangents.
Oh no, you make loads of sense. There's people on to me thinking you're some sort of a guru.
No, but I think... If there's a realism of what you have to do...
If you're a real person...
If you care about it.
If you're a real person, your real authentic self, then all your dreams and hopes and everything are real as well. You're not just some fucking dope pulling together content. And I think that's the whole point of our podcast anyway, is that we're two real people sharing our real thoughts. Like, these are my real thoughts. If this microphone was off, I'd be saying the same stuff to you. That's the difference. Always be very wary of people that are like, I'm authentic.
But my approach mightn't be... good for another person then. Do you know what I mean?
I think your approach, if you boil down your approach, it is to be passionate about something and to go for it. That's a good approach.
And to find out the way.
I'm distracted because in my head I'm like, I think Peter could definitely take Cahill. Goodbye and God bless. Red Raw. Red Raw. With Rob and Laura.